What's up, guys, and welcome to What Up, Kev, episode number 3. Of course, I'm Kevin Larrabee, and I'm here to talk to you by myself this week, as I do every week in the middle of the week on Thursdays. Or I guess, yeah, man, it's Thursday night right now, and I usually try to post these on Thursdays and record them on Fridays, but I guess this will be coming out on Friday, and you'll get to hear it before the next episode of the FitCast that will be on Sunday. And I'm hoping it's going to be Sunday. We have a Perform Better one-day seminar that's coming up here in Boston that I'll be attending on Sunday. So I'm going to try to see if I can get the crew together on Sunday night. I've been talking with Nick Tuminello about possibly coming on. So he might actually be the guest for this Sunday. Or, you know, I'm also thinking about just bringing some recording equipment and interviewing some of the presenters there. Of course, we have Mike Boyle, Alan Cosgrove, Gray Cook, and we have Todd Durkin, who is, I think, is going to be his first time presenting the Perform Better circuit, at least at the one days. I didn't see him last year. He might have done it at a different location, but I haven't seen him in Boston. So some very cool stuff that's going to be coming up. Also, on a personal note, as you might have heard on the other podcast, I'm very excited. Some cool things have been going on, some great stuff going on at Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning. Really want to recommend, if you haven't already, and I'm doing this as a part of, like, you know, I really wanted to go up to Mike and be like, Mike, I bet I can get, like, you know, a couple hundred people to join that, our Facebook group and also our Twitter. And, I mean, I think you guys should really check it out. And I'm going to invite a bunch of people that are on my friends list on Facebook, but the Facebook group that we have for Mike Boyle Strength and Conditioning is actually pretty awesome. We've been posting a bunch of videos from the NFL Combine. We're going to be, and this is kind of part of the exciting thing. I actually sat down with Mike today, and we're going to be allocating a lot of my time at the facility to getting some new content for you guys and recording some stuff going on at the facility, recording stuff with our staff members, our clients, and our athletes, and giving you guys a little bit of taste of what it's actually like at that facility so you can kind of get a better idea of where we're all coming from and definitely see what Mike has done there and the staff that has done there in those last couple of years. It's really a fantastic place, and hopefully you'll get to see a little bit more about it. Now let's talk a little bit about some other stuff that's going on. I want to quickly mention some of my online clients have been doing awesome. Like, really, really well. And I want to give them shout-outs. And it's really cool to see what your online clients do, because you don't necessarily see them all the time. In this case, I haven't seen them at all. I just talked to them on the phone. I think that's a big part of it, like, doing, like, starting off and doing, like, a 30-minute, and I think one of them even went to, like, 45 minutes, like, first consultation where just kind of going through, you know, what their goals are. I have them fill out. It sounds like a lot, but I have them fill out about 4 or 5 pages of stuff and just get them back to me. A bunch of questions about nutrition, you know, training history, you know, dieting history. Like, you wouldn't think like that would be that important, but the history of how someone has dieted and see where they failed and done well is you know, actually, you know, really important to know about in terms of just thinking about where they're going to go in the future and what's going to work best for them psychologically, socially, and physically. So, you know, I really want to applaud them. Erin, I think, she lost 2.5 pounds in the first week. And also, we had Andrew, I think, also lost like 3 pounds or 4 pounds in the first week. He's kicking ass in the beginning of this. And what we have kind of going on is, you know, I also have one other client who's just looking to gain strength. And another client that just joined back on, who is looking to do some 5-3-1 stuff and just needs some assistance work, so we're working on that now. So it's all really cool, and it's something that I find really rewarding, and I love doing it. So if you guys want to check it out, actually, I'm going to open up 1 or 2 more slots at kevinlarrabee.com. You can check it out and see what I offer for online personal training. And as you can see from testimonials and stuff, you can see from my the client Spotlight Kim, yeah, you're gonna get results, and you know, if you follow the outline, and this, one of the cool things about the online personal training is it gives you accountability. It makes sure, you know, I make sure I do have you do weekly check-ins to make sure you're following the program, see how their nutrition is going. You know, see, actually, you know, if you're having issues with some things, you know, why are you running into roadblocks, and what can we do to get you through those? Or maybe we have to change something. You know, maybe the calorie numbers are too low and we got to bump things up a little bit. And, you know, the fat loss might come a little bit slower. You might go at 1.5 pounds a week instead of 2 pounds a week. But, you know, we still get the job done in the long run, and you get to still socialize and stuff like that. And I know Lee Peel has talked in the past about one of her clients who just, you know, needs to have her red wine. And I, you know, I have one of my online clients who just wants to have one night a week where she can go out with some coworkers and get a couple drinks. And we can do that. Like, that's doable. It's not, you know, there, you know, sometimes those diets where it's just like, no, none of this, none of that. You're completely clean for the rest of your life. You know, that doesn't work. You know, I think being social is very important, and you don't want to just, man, I always yawn when I do these because I feel like I never stop talking. But, yeah, I mean, I think social, you know, just being out with friends and things like that, like, that's important for just staying sane, especially when you work 40, 50, 60 hours a week. You're going to the gym 10, you know, 5 hours a week, and, you know, all that other stuff. You got to stay sane. So I just want to quickly mention that, but let's go right into the mailbag. First question that we have comes from Rich. He says, Kevin, I recently discovered podcast in general and the FitCast in particular. It is awesome and a source of great information. I've always imagined that Alan Cosgrove sounded like I've always imagined what Alan Cosgrove sounded like, and now I know. I just listened to your latest Ask Kevin show and heard about Eat, Stop, Eat. And I have used the method to some success. Your criticism about binging when one finally gets to eat is spot on. And my method for dealing with it is having lots of filling, healthy foods on hand for dinner the night after the fast ends. I might eat more than I normally would for a single meal, but I eat grilled chicken breasts, greens, beans, and nuts. Following a, quote, healthy diet the week and having one 24-hour fast, I have lost about 8 pounds in the past 4 weeks without too much mental anguish. Keep up the good work, Rich. And, yeah, you know, again, I didn't say it didn't work. You know, I think just for some people, they're not going to be as necessarily as, you know, good with the diet as you were, Rich. I think some people will be like, holy crap, I haven't eaten for 24 hours. I'm in starvation mode right now. I'm going to eat, because my body's right now is telling me to eat everything humanly possible to catch up to what you know, I've not done in the last day or so. So I think it's really important to keep that stuff in mind when you look at programs like that. Again, I'm not saying the programs don't work. I'm just saying, you know, you got to think about how you are personally. Next question, questions come from Clement, who actually sent in a couple emails, but we're just going to get to one of them this week. We'll go to the next email next week. But I said, hi, Kevin. Sorry to bother you for this little manner. Yawning. How unprofessional. Sorry to bother you with for this little matter. I'm a 19-year-old Asian male who has been following your podcast for a long time. I was thinking of investing in a few fitness books with the goal of learning more about exercise methods for pushing my fitness, and hopefully in the future, if I further my ambition for being a fitness and a strength coach. I've been keeping an eye out for good books, and I found three which sound promising. If you had a little time, could you advise me on which books are worth getting, and also on some books that I should get with respect to training? I'd be much in depth if you could. So the books that you listed off are EDT, Muscle Logic by Charles Staley, New Rules of Lifting by Lou Schuler, and the Testosterone Advantage Plan. Testosterone Advantage Plan, man, that came out a long time ago. I think it's like 2001 or something like that. I bought that in high school, so that's how old that is. So, book recommendations, like general book recommendations. You mentioned that you want to be, you know, a fitness or a strength coach. So I would definitely recommend checking out Mike Boyle's stuff. It's, you know, it's not me blowing smoke up his ass. It's because he has great material, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to work with him. Or I should say work for him. Like, you know, being able to even, you know, we have staff meetings every week with Mike. And every time we have a staff meeting, it's like a seminar. It's awesome. It is easily one of the highlights of my job. And, you know, I even had a situation where there was a chance to have a client, a new personal training client, and I had to turn him down because he wanted to train during the meetings. You know, like one of those options was not go to the meetings, but no, it wasn't an option. I miss half of the meeting. No, I want every little bit of those meetings because Mike's stuff is so great, and he's just such a great teacher, and it's awesome to learn from him. But other than that, I really recommend checking out his new book, which I'm looking, because you can kind of hear me a little bit differently, because I'm looking over to my rack of books, and I forgot what it's called. I think it's called Functional Training for Sport, or that's the old one. Man, oh, I can, it's just a little bit too far away. His new book, I'll throw the name of it in the show notes, but it's Laree Draper. He'll put the book together. It's fantastic. It's a must-have book. It's a collection of Mike's articles over the last, I don't know, 10 years or so. So it's really like a cool book, because you get to see where Mike has gone from, you know, these last couple of years. He's never ashamed to say that he does change his mind, so it's really good. Also, I think Athletic Body Imbalance by Gray Cook is one that you should really look at getting. It's like $20, and it focuses a lot on, it actually talks a little bit about, you know, warm-ups and dynamic movements, and kind of like a precursor to the functional movement screen, which I think is important. I think everyone should be able to have a grasp on mobility and making sure when you're assessing your clients, and you have to have a general outline of what you're going to be doing, what you're going to be looking for. And I think Gray's book does a great job with that. And if you really like it, spend the extra money and go get the Functional Movement Screen DVDs. Also, oh man, I really wish I could read my books from way over here. I also like, if you're willing to spend an extra couple bucks, Eric Cressy's Ultimate Offseason Training Manual is really good. Also, his Maximum Strength book is fantastic. The Maximum Strength book, I mean, it will get you stronger. Like, it is a very good book. And I think you should also look into getting some DVDs. Like, there's some great DVDs of seminars out there. Mike Boyle's always put out great DVDs. Eric Cressy and Mike Robertson and Bill Hartman have together put out a great line of DVDs. Just check out their websites. There's some great stuff on there. And for fat loss, you already listed New Rules of Lifting. It's like $12, and it's an awesome book. It will teach you a lot about fat loss. And I think that's it. I'm gonna, man. Advances in Functional Training. That's the book. Advances in Functional Training. Sorry. By Mike Boyle. Check it out. Fantastic book. Again, it's like $20, and you're going to learn more from that book than you will learn in like 2 years of college. It's very, very good. All right. So let's see. Jim from Belgium has the next question. I've read on a couple of websites that you have to wait an hour before getting up and to train because of the spine being dehydrated. Is that also applicable for bodyweight exercise? Because I like to get up and train right away. Well, actually, it's a very interesting question. With our spine, you know, there are recommendations that you wait about an hour before you do anything, especially if you're going to do any spinal loading. If you're going to put a bar in your back, or if you're going to, you know, even if you're going to deadlift, I would say that because it's posterior chain. But when it comes to that, yeah, follow that recommendation. You actually do have fluid that settles down in your spine when you go to sleep. And, you know, are you going to, you know, break your back or hurt your back incredibly if you squat like in less than an hour after waking up? You know, probably not, but it's better to be safe. And, you know, there's research that backs it. Jim, I would just wake up a little bit earlier. Man, yawning. I apologize. I'm sorry. Maybe I should, like, donate a dollar every time I yawn. I might have to do that. Maybe if you have suggestions on what I should donate to, maybe I'll do that. So That's what I do. Even for body weight exercises or like running or sprint work, you know, maybe 30 minutes. Wake up. At least wake up so you get, you know, that central nervous system firing. You should be doing a proper warm-up anyways. That should be taking you about 15 minutes with your foam rolling and your mobility. So, you know, how early are you, do you really need to lift? I guess that's my question I'd ask you. All right. Next question is from Ian. What up, Kev? Love the Fitcast. Enjoy your weekly question sessions. Haven't missed one yet. I was struck by your recommendation of use of a fat burner to get those last 2 to 3 pounds you need and starting about a month before your calendar goal. May 1st for June 1st, for example. And now the question of, quote, best product is hard to answer. So what product would you personally recommend to your clients and fans? Thanks, Ian. It's a good question, Ian. And to be honest, I haven't even recommended a fat loss supplement to any of my clients. But if I did, you know, it's really tough. Like, you know, the good ones out there are just going to be something with, like, Yohimbe in it. Lots of caffeine. I mean, you could literally just take straight up caffeine. Like, you can take, like, 200 milligrams of caffeine. That will help. Yohimbe is not a bad appetite suppressant. I don't know. I'd say like Biotest Hot Rocks is pretty good. It'll give you a nice kick in the ass too if you're in those last couple that last month or so and you're really dragging. It'll give you a nice bounce. And you know what? Even like Spike, to be honest, like if you can tolerate Spike, I would look into that. Aside from Biotest products, I mean, I really don't know a ton of stuff that's out there. I know there's like Lipo 6, but you're always going to run into issues with that. I know some people can get hypotensive with that actually, and start like having like numb hands and feet and stuff like that. Like, I don't know if you want to run into that or even deal with that. Even just like high dosages of green tea, like brewed green tea, just like drink green tea all day, that will get the job done as well. So I hope I didn't dodge that question, but I think, you know, if it was a male, I probably would say Hot Rocks. I think there's, you know, pretty good track record with that product, and it seems to get pretty good results for people. Let's see. Next question is from Matt from Valencia, originally from Ohio. Hey, Kevin, first, just wanted to say I appreciate the show. I was a nutrition major and exercise phys minor in college and am currently not living in the United States. I appreciate that you guys give a free, easy-to-find resource to find keep my knowledge of the field growing while I'm pursuing other ventures. What other ventures? Interesting. The question I have in regards to becoming a personal trainer. As I said, my education was in nutrition and exercise physiology, and while in college, really did not desire to do training, but now my interest has been piqued in the profession. I feel I have a good amount of knowledge about the subject, but my school did not require any type of internship. But to get to the point of my question, I was wondering what steps I should take what steps I should be taking to do so, and what are the key differences in the different certifications, ACSM, CSCS, NSCA, etc. Thanks, Kevin. I appreciate your input, and once again, really love the show. Also, I dig your music choice for the workout. My quote workout playlist is very, very similar. Might I recommend Incubus, Emery, or Falling Up to add to that list? Anyway, I know you're busy. Thanks, man. Matt from Valencia. So, good question, Matt. Actually, just talked to someone on the phone about this today. But I think the best route would be to go. I really like the NSCA certifications. And I think they do a pretty solid job. You can get their CPT certification. Also, the NASM CPT certification is really, really good. They've done a great job with their book and their training materials in terms of getting it up to date and not having it be stuff that you're going to want to forget 2 seconds after you finish taking the test. So I would look into those. And I think that's a great place to start. If it's something you really want to do and you want to look at getting like becoming a certified strength and conditioning specialist, then I would go down that road. But the two ones I would recommend are the NSCA CBT and also the NASM CBT. very good certification. So it's a great place to start. And in terms of the music stuff, actually, I do have, I think, a couple Incubus songs. Never heard of Emery or Falling Up. I'll have to check those out. Thanks for the recommendations. All right, last question. We're almost home. Almost home. Last question comes from Mark Johnson from Yardley, Pennsylvania. It's a nice name, Yardley. I love your podcast. I have a son who will be turning 13 next month and plays basketball. Skill-wise, he is fine, but lacks explosiveness, quickness, and strength when compared to other players his age. He is 5'7", 140 pounds, so he has decent size. Absolutely, that is pretty good size for a 13-year-old. Unfortunately, his coordination is just okay, and his low muscular tone. He has been playing competitively for 3 years and has taken about 20 small class training sessions in the last year that focus on sport movements. I'd like to start working with him and thought in addition to some lower body agility and footwork drills to add some medicine ball training, weights, and plyometrics. Somewhat cautious on this one, but thought exaggerated skipping and small box jumps may be helpful to him. The jump rope as well. And I did graduate with a degree in phys ed with a concentration in adult fitness, plus worked as a trainer. That was about 15 years ago, so I'm a bit out of the loop, so hoping you can provide some help. Best regards, Mark Johnson. Mark, awesome, fantastic question. The first thing I'm going to do, and you know, I'm just saying this as a more general thing. I'm not even going to talk to you, Mark. I'm going to talk to parents in general. 13-year-old son plays basketball. The first thing I would say is, does he want to do this? Does he want to get to the gym 2 to 3 days a week and do this stuff? You know, I definitely see if it's something that he would like, and just make sure no matter what you do, make sure it's fun. Make sure it's like a no pressure situation. It's just going to the gym and you're having fun. You're just going to go, you know, maybe start, you shoot around, you warm up, and then you take them through some stuff. But just make sure it's fun, and you know, otherwise, you don't want them to get burned out playing basketball. The other thing, you know, you said he just plays basketball, and is he specializing in basketball? Because you know, one of the things that we'll talk about is that you want to try to not specialize with kids that are 13, 14, maybe when you get to 15, and I'm stealing this from Mike Boyle completely, but I trust him wholeheartedly. He's been doing this for like 30 years. So, you know, it's kind of my go-to guy when it comes to this stuff when training younger athletes. But he always says to make sure that you don't specialize too early. One of his great quotes is, you know, there's one piece of training equipment your kid should have, and it should be a bike so he can go outside and go play with his friends. And I totally agree with that. It makes so much sense. Also, making sure if he wants, you know, see if he wants to play another sport as well. Even if it's, you know, something like a club team, like maybe something like soccer, baseball, or something that would kind of be in the off season of basketball, just so he's doing something different. And you know, he might be picking up on some motor patterns that he wouldn't pick up playing basketball, practicing at basketball practice or basketball camps and things like that, or even while doing basketball specific training, and I'm putting that in quotes. But anyways, I'm not, you know, saying that's anything that you're doing. I'm just saying that's you know, it's something to think about for the other parents that are out there. All right, so let's talk about his training. You mentioned that you want him to do some agility work, footwork drills, medicine ball training, weights, and plyometrics. All right. The agility stuff I think is fine. You know, agility and footwork drills. Cool. Do some ladder stuff. Look up some ladder drills online, and maybe that's one of the things we'll start putting up for Mike Boyle on MBSC videos on YouTube. But we'll see what we can do. I'll see what I can do about that. I'll see if we can put some stuff together for you. But the, you know, the thing I want to kind of focus on is the med ball stuff, the weight training stuff. I think the med ball stuff is going to be fine. Is it super applicable to him? Maybe not in terms of basketball training, but it's good to get the stuff in general. Looking at like hip side tosses and even chest passes, things like that would be great. If you can do that stuff against the wall, med ball slams will be fine as long as your shoulders are in good health and the form is good. In terms of the weights and the plyometrics for weights, I don't think I would have him pick up weights. I would probably have him stick with body weight stuff. Make sure he can do like 15, 20 body weight push-ups. Have him work on some core stability stuff. Have him do planks, like front planks, side planks. Maybe have him do some Palloff or anti-rotation presses. Yeah, you're going to have some weight on those, but you know you're not going to be necessarily lifting. You're going to be holding in an isometric fashion, or you're going to be moving the weight a couple inches. I think with the plyometric stuff, yeah, you can do some of that, but you got to start very, very basic. You got to have progressions for this stuff. So I would actually go look at the article that I wrote on KevinLarby.com for that female soccer player who was looking at doing some off-season stuff. I mean, like, really doing basic stuff. Like, do some two-legged box jumps. I would do some depth drops where you just have them focus on deceleration. That's going to be really big. Basketball is a game of stop and go. You're constantly running, but there's also some bouts of explosive movement where you have to stop immediately as well. So making sure he's really good with deceleration. And when you do any of this plyometric stuff, like I said, you got to make sure there's some progressions, and don't be afraid to have regressions as well. If you have to dial it back, dial it back. And the jump rope is going to be good. Nothing wrong with a little jump roping. Again, just make sure he doesn't hate it. Find some stuff that he's going to like to do. Something like he's going to be like, Dad, yeah, I really want to, let's go do some plyometric stuff today. That stuff was awesome. Or let's do, let's see how many push-ups I can do today. Or, let's do some shooting drills. Like, shooting drills can be great. And even if you can mix in some agility work with that in terms of foot placement, things like that. Shuttle runs are really good. They used to be called suicides, but now they're shuttle runs. I think shuttle runs are great. I would be doing those, but just making sure you pay very close attention to how his body's going to react to this. See how he's feeling the next day. See how he's feeling the next training session. Observe what he looks like during the next training session. Is he actually, lagging behind? Does he look visibly tired? Does his form get sloppy? Those are things you have to keep a lookout for, because, if he's not recovering, it's going to do more harm than good, and you're going to set him up for injuries. So we want to make sure we don't do that. So I would say, once or twice a week to start. See what he, see how he does once or twice a week, and make sure this is in the off season, not in the end season. And kind of go from there. Make sure if you do your best, I know he's 13, but do your best to see if you can get him to eat right. And by eat right, I don't mean eat great. I mean just get some fruits and vegetables, some protein in him. Make sure he's just not coming home from the gym after you guys train and eating some Oreos or downing a glass of apple juice. Get some chocolate milk in him and make sure he's recovering properly. So I think that's it. That's a pretty long show. I'm going to look at this meter right now. We're at, 28 minutes. That's not bad. So it's actually my bedtime, so I'm going to bounce. And I want you guys to remember to please check out KevinLarby.com. Check out thefitcast.com. Let me know if you're interested in online personal training. Again, I would love to grab one or two more people on board. And let's get some great results before the summer, guys. It was 70 degrees out here in Massachusetts today. It's March 18th. That's awesome. Like, I really wish I could have been outside more today, but unfortunately you have to work, and I have to work. So definitely keep that in mind. We only got a couple more months till we'll be at the beach every weekend and reenacting the volleyball scene from Top Gun, which is awesome. Iceman, you should see that movie. And another piece of off-topic information, Tron, very good movie. Just watched that this past week for the first time in completion. I think I saw bits and pieces when I was a kid, but I saw that. That's it. So, again, check all that stuff out. send your emails for What Up Kev to questions@thefitguest.com or send them to kevin@thefitguest.com. And you guys can always email me personally. If you have questions that you don't want to have read on the air, just say, don't read this on the air, and I will answer your questions personally. I love to talk to you guys, and feel free to do that. So that's all for now. Thanks again. Hope you guys have a great rest of the week, and I'll see you in about 3 days on the FitCast. Take care, and we'll see you then.